Well, now that I've rested up, Sean, from the beaches and everything like that, really ready to get back into this. Stormcast back in action following the 2019 Iowa Hawkeye football season. David Eichel along with Sean Bock. And Sean, it's been a pretty eventful last couple of weeks. The injuries continue to pile up for basketball, but the football season ended their season on a high note, and it's now January 12th, and we're still awaiting decisions from Tristan Wirfs and AJ Epenesa. So a lot of storylines to really kind of get into.
Right, yeah, and I mean, speaking of storylines too, another one coming out of that season was Geno Stone, which maybe people were talking about to start the year, but I think as the season went on, people kind of started realizing, well, hey, I mean, he didn't have like a fantastic year, but he put up enough a year where you're going to be like, okay, maybe he could get drafted in 6th or 7th round. Maybe he could be like, because I mean, people coming into the season were talking about him having an Imani Hooker type year where he just emerged as one of the guys. Granted, he's probably not going to get as drafted as high as Imani did, but I think he'll find himself on an NFL team somewhere down the line. But yeah, like you said, David, lots to talk about from the last couple weeks. Obviously, Big Ten basketball, Iowa basketball getting in full swing. Big Ten as crazy as we expected it this year. Road
Insane.
team, yeah, road teams are what, 5-31.
I think it's 5-32 after today, because I don't think the Michigan game was final. The
Right.
Michigan State game was final at that point.
Right. So, yeah, 5-32, which is just flat out ridiculous considering the talent that's in this conference. And I mean, Ohio State too is ranked like number 11 in the country, and they're what, 1-5 or 1-4 in
Yeah,
Big Ten play.
they've lost four straight, and they're going to be out of the top 25 tomorrow morning, I think for sure. I mean, I think they're standalone, second to last in the conference right now.
Yeah, with Northwestern being last. And yeah, I mean, it's crazy because Ohio State was the number one team in the country at one point. And just to see them drop as far as they have and with all the talent they have too on that roster, it's not like they're a team that's a fluke. Like Chris Holtmann's a great coach. They have a lot of talent up there with the Wesson Twins, Dwayne Washington, DJ Carton, and CJ Walker and those guys, and they're a really good team. And just to see them drop as far as they have, just because the Big Ten Conference is so brutal this year, it's just flat out ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the main reason for Ohio State kind of dropping off, and I think that, like you said, there's a lot of talent. I think there's a lot of point guard talent, CJ Walker, DJ Carton, but I think it's just inconsistent play on that end, from the point guard position. And I think DJ Carton's the future star in the Big Ten. I mean, he's got all the athleticism, he's got all the gifts and the skill set to really, I think, be a huge big time player next year. But I think inconsistency from there. Caleb Wesson obviously has continued to expand his game, but I think there's a lot of young pieces that are still trying to adapt to Big Ten basketball, and they're just not coming along as far as, I think a lot of people expected them to.
Right, but also you look at Ohio State's schedule and all their losses except for one have come on the road. And I mean, Wisconsin's a team that's not a fluke, and West Virginia beat them on a neutral floor in what was a really competitive game. And I didn't like that matchup anyway for Ohio State going into that one. But they'll get a couple home games here. I think they have a home against Nebraska on Tuesday, which should be a win, and then they go on the road to a Penn State team that we know is a very, very tough team. Even though they're what, 2-3 in the conference, so they haven't had a stellar year thus far. But still, they picked up some good wins, and they're a team that will probably be in the NCAA tournament once March comes around.
I found it interesting. Seth Davis from The Athletic, obviously, national college basketball guy, said that there's going to be 10 Big Ten teams he thinks are going to make the NCAA tournament. And he said, I would not rule out 11,
I
which
mean,
is
that's
absolutely
realistic.
absurd.
That's realistic, but you gotta take Seth Davis is an interesting guy. You gotta take what he says with a grain of salt at all
Oh,
times. He
absolutely.
seems
100%.
seems yeah, he like I would love to see the Big Ten get that many teams in. And I think too with the SEC being kinda inconsistent, I think it's a possibility. But with what Seth Davis says, I think you gotta kinda tone it down a little bit, because I think there could be 10 teams. I think 9 at the minimum. 9 is the most realistic, and then 10.
You know what's interesting too, Sean, when you look at the road records for Big Ten teams, there's only three teams in the Big Ten that have a 500 or better road record. Michigan State 2-1, Wisconsin at 3-2, and Iowa at 2-2. Everyone else is a losing road record, which, I mean, granted with the conference schedule, but I mean, that's a crazy statistic. And teams 3 through 12 are either 3-2 at 500 or 2-3 in conference right now. So, I mean, the margin for error is incredibly thin.
Right. And no teams are undefeated in conference, which we didn't expect coming into the year, but I think a lot of people expected Michigan State to find a way to pull one out in West Lafayette today, but Purdue ran them out of the building.
Yeah, it's a, you know, Mackey Arena with, I think, Matt Painter and those guys. You can never really count out an easy game against Purdue. They'll always find a way to show up and make life difficult. Speaking of difficult, let's kind of dive into the key storylines with Iowa right now. CJ Frederick, I mean, it'll be interesting to kind of monitor that situation, Sean. I feel like he's going to be out for another month. A stress reaction by that description, when you look it up online and doing a little bit of research, it's typically a 4 to 6 week injury. So Iowa's depth just continues to get thinner. I think we're only going to see 8 guys, including Riley Till, actually see any sort of action. And that just puts more pressure on Joe Wieskamp, Luca Garza, to really get the job done. 20 a night, game in and game out for each of them, and for Iowa to stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah, losing CJ was huge, and we saw it in the Penn State game down the stretch. I mean, Iowa did a fine job offensively against Penn State, but not enough to get the victory. And then obviously against Nebraska too, where they were just awful from beyond the arc, and just scoring the ball was a real problem. Yeah, it was bad. And CJ, I mean, we've talked about it so many times before, just what he brings to both sides of the ball is something that you can't really match. I mean, we've seen it with Joe Wieskamp. We know what he can do with his length and actually with his rebounding too. I thought it was pretty good the other night. But CJ is a guy that you put on the perimeter, guard the one or two, and he's kind of just got a knack for knowing where to be, knowing his spots, is able to take charges, just knows where to be when his teammates get him on the offensive end too, with just the way he makes shots and the way he moves. I've always been impressed with how well he moves off the ball and how he's able to really react to screens and whether to slip or whether to pop out for a three-pointer. I've always really enjoyed that about his game. And just from a depth perspective too, I mean, first, I think you need a guy like that on your team, just one that kind of brings – that does all the intangibles well. I mean, Joe Wieskamp's up there too, but we've seen him at times this year be kind of lackluster in games. But I think Frederick really seems to bring it every time he's healthy on the court. I mean, that's been the story with him this year, has been health. Against Michigan, I forgot what the injury was. Was it a hamstring against Michigan?
It was a quad injury.
Quad, that's right. So he wasn't 100% against them too, ended up playing, did fine, but you kind of noticed out there that he wasn't 100%. And then against Penn State, he obviously did not look ready to go. I think he had 0 points in the first half. And then they told him he was out for the rest of the game, which, I mean, you're fine with that point, because you see what – if you're injured and you're not really bringing anything, then what's the point of being you out on the court? Mm-hmm. But CJ, when he's healthy, man, like he's probably one this Iowa team's most important player. Maybe – I mean, I know you got Luka Garza and Joe Wieskamp, but I think with CJ, just the way how he brings it on both sides of the floor and – just how he can really be a guy that just knows his spots and knows where to find others on the floor. That's just so vital to this team's success. And we saw it. We saw it in those two previous losses.
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of summed it up well. I think to kind of more clarify your point a little bit more, I think you're right. I think CJ is the X factor, and I think it's because you expect Luka Garza to do what he does game in and game out. I mean, Luka's been held – I think the single-digit scoring once this year, which was against San Diego State. He leads the nation in 20-point, 10-rebound games. I mean, Luka's on the short list for National Player of the Year. I mean, he's a top 10. He's a legitimate candidate. He's probably the MVP in the Big Ten right now. What he's doing is absolutely phenomenal. So it just – he's going to get done game in and game out. And I think – Joe Wieskamp, I think, it kind of reminds me, Sean, it kind of reminds me of AJ Epenesa in a sense that a little bit slow to start the year, not what people expected. They expected the world. But as the season progressed, they continue to get better and better. Joe Wieskamp now coming off a career high, 26 points, 11 rebounds, obviously against, in Iowa's last game, that's his second career double-double. He just looked dominant on both sides. Both sides of the ball, just clutch rebounds, hustle, passing, shooting, everything, the works. And he just seemed more in his element. He's comfortable taking those shots, and I don't think he's going to back down from taking, 16 to 20 shots a game, which is exactly what you want. He's got the ultimate green light. And it was kind of interesting to talk to the team after. I mean, Luca and Joe both said, yeah, we feel like the two of us can lead Iowa to, whatever they need him to do, they're going to do. And they said, when we're really feeling good and we're really on our game, we feel like we can compete with anybody in the country. So that no excuse mentality and I think just the leadership, I think they're both just emerging as those leaders. I think Ryan Kreener's been absolutely huge for this team in the past few games, just the energy he brings and the kind of attention he commands in the huddle. I think he's going to be an extremely important player as the year goes along. And I think that people do need to talk about is Fran McCaffrey. I think this is Fran McCaffrey, one of his best coaching jobs. I know it's only, 16 games in, but to deal with all the adversity that Iowa's gone through with this sort of schedule and for them to be 11-5. And in all reality, a couple buckets away from being,
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
13-3. What Fran's doing, I think, is he's doing a great job coaching. He's picking his spots to get technicals. The technicals he's gotten in back-to-back games, Sean, have really sparked Iowa on runs to kind of get the team juiced up and going. So I think Fran McCaffrey has been absolutely phenomenal this season. Obviously there's, things here and there you could want to clean up, but yeah, I think Fran's really grabbed the attention of the huddle. And I think that Iowa's mental makeup, even from 2 years ago, I remember when they were 4-14, Iowa's mental makeup is so night and day because they get down, but you never really count them out and they don't really count themselves out. There's a ton of effort game in and game out. And when you see a guy like Joe Toussaint have that chase down block after an Iowa turnover and then go down the other end and draw a foul right when Maryland could have closed it to single digits, that was one of the most important plays of the game. So Iowa's just getting it done right now. There'll be ups and downs, but I think Iowa's in a pretty good place.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I pointed it out after the Penn State game that there's a stretch coming up this month that you have away at Nebraska, which I thought was a winnable game. Turns out it wasn't. That you include, that's one game. And then home against Maryland, that's a winnable game. On the road against Northwestern, winnable game. Michigan, I think, at home is a winnable game. And then Rutgers, which is a winnable game. And then Wisconsin, too, at home. That's going to be a tough one, considering I hasn't had much success against the Badgers in recent years outside of Jordan Bohan's freshman year where they went into the Kohl Center and ended up getting the dub. But so Iowa started Big Ten play, 1-3? You win the next 2, 3, 4, 5 games, what, you're looking at 7-2 now?
You win the next 4 games, you're feeling really good on NCAA. You're looking at a really solid NCAA shot if you win the next 4 games.
The next 4 games, yeah, because I was mixing it in with Maryland. But you win the next 4 games, you're at 6-3. And after you start 1-3, especially in the Big Ten, like it's so important that you take care of these home games because when you go on the road to Maryland, who I know Iowa smacked the other day, that they're a much different team at home. I mean, I think they're beatable, but they're a much different team at home. You go on the road to Purdue, and we saw what they did against Michigan State. You go on the road to Indiana. Indiana's a struggling team, but they looked a lot better on Saturday against Ohio State, and they're obviously beatable. Mm-hmm. Then you go on the road to Minnesota. That's another one. Michigan State, that's going to be a tough place to play. And then on the road, I'm going out of order from the away games. That these away games, too, are games that you could possibly steal, I think. I think you look at a matchup like, I don't know, Maryland, and I know, believe it or not, the Maryland didn't shoot that well against Iowa on the road, and they didn't shoot that well when I watched them against Indiana maybe a week ago. That's a different game, but there's a possibility that ends up being true, and even some of these other games too. But my main point is you just got to take care of what you can do at home, because with the way the Big Ten's been this year on the road, those road games are going to come at a minimum. And when you do get those road games, those are going to be huge resume boosters. So I think if you just take advantage of the home games, I mean, I know it's very slight chance that they'll win all of them, but I think a road game, a win, I know it sounds kind of cliche, but I think two home losses in a road game on the big, or a road win on the Big Ten, discounting Northwestern. So I think one road win is equivalent to two home losses, maybe even three home losses in the Big Ten this year. You know what I mean? Just in terms of importance and just like with the net rankings too, because the committee weighs looks so closely at the road losses, the neutral floor wins, and the quality wins, that that's something that they could really take stock in. I mean, I know you don't want to lose at home to a team like, I don't know, Nebraska coming up. I mean, Nebraska handed it to Iowa the other day. Granted, Iowa didn't play well, but that's still a game you have to win. But you can afford, if you win a game on the road, you can afford like a home loss against, I don't know, like Michigan, or they don't play Michigan, like a home loss against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Or a home loss
the thing is, though, too, when you look at Iowa's 32 in the net rankings right now, and they're 11-5. And it's what I wanted to get back to really quick before we move on to football and recruiting and everything is Iowa's 32 in the net rankings. They're 11-5. And like you said, if Iowa just protects their home court, they're going to be feeling pretty good come Selection Sunday, because look at their road and neutral wins already on their resume. That's why they're so high on the net rankings, despite being 11-5. They got Syracuse, they got Texas Tech, they got Iowa State. I mean, they have legitimate teams they've beaten on the road or neutral courts already. So, I mean, if Iowa gets to, I think you need 10 wins. I think you need to go 500 in the Big Ten. Maybe not. I mean, maybe 9 wins even gets you in the NCAA tournament. 9 wins plus an opening round win in the Big Ten tournament. I think Iowa's going to be sitting pretty comfortably. And with the way the team's playing and Luka Garza, and if Iowa just doesn't shoot the ball as poorly as they did against Nebraska, I mean, in all reality, Iowa can go out on a given day and probably beat anybody in the Big Ten if they just get everything together. But that consistent game-by-game basis, can they rise up to the occasion? The team's mental makeup, as I mentioned, that's completely different, is going to be tested night in, night out. And Luka Garza is going to just need to be able to keep doing what he's doing. And Joe Wieskamp needs to be able to drop 20 a night, because I found a stat the other night, Sean, and I know you were out scouting for us, 24/7 Sports. Check that out on HawkeyeInsider.com. But you were out scouting for us, and it was interesting because Joe Wieskamp and Luka Garza were the only Iowa players to score more than 3 points in the first 30 minutes of that game. Iowa had, I think, 5 other players had 3 or fewer points.
Yeah, that's intriguing, I would say, but that's also like a kind of a cause for concern. I mean, I know those guys, like other scorers, are going to figure it out. Like Connor's been coming along with his 3-point shot. Joe's been Toussaint's been scoring a little more. Kreener's had good games, especially against like Penn State. But you need more guys than that. I mean, let's see, though, because has there been a player this year that could stop Luka Garza? Just in terms of when he gets positioned, he is, you're not stopping him, because Once he gets inside on you, once he gets that inside gap in the paint, like, and just backs you down, you're not getting around that.
No, and you're not. And I think what Luka's done this season, you know, it's amazing too, Sean. A story will be coming out tomorrow about this. I talked to Luka. Remember that stretch last season of five games where he probably averaged 14 to 15 minutes a game because he got in such bad foul trouble and fouled out in like three straight games? Yeah. He said that was the turning point of his career because that's what keeps him so even keel now. And through 16 games this year, Garza has 32 fouls.
Jeez.
And he's averaging about 35 minutes a game.
Yeah, and that's amazing. That's ridiculous. I mean, I know they haven't like played. I mean, you play like Mike Watkins and Lamar Stevens, and then obviously Jalen Smith on Maryland too, John Teske. Minnesota, you have Daniel Oturo. Like, once, like, that's impressive, but I want to see him go against, like, the Wesson brothers, like Kofi Coburn, the Wheeler guy on Purdue, Michigan State, Xavier Tillman. If he does that same thing against those guys, that's when you're like, oh, crap, like, that's amazing.
He's going to probably go from nearly unstoppable to unstoppable because even Nebraska, I only want to say Nebraska slowed him down. Iowa just couldn't stretch out the defense. I mean, he still had 16 points and 18 rebounds against Nebraska, and he was getting quadruple teamed almost every play, it felt like.
It's
absurd.
He's insane, man.
And especially if he comes back next season, I mean, he could be a 2,000-point scorer, and that's – ridiculous to think about, honestly, but it's not out of the question of the way he's playing.
I think too with Nunji, if Nunji gets back, you have a perimeter scorer down there that can spread the floor and open things up down low, because he's not like the Tyler Cook type where Cook could only really do stuff like 10 feet inside, 10 mm-hmm. feet from the basket in terms of scoring. Yeah. Like Nunji's a guy that is probably preferred to stay 15 feet out. And you have a guy like that opens things up and then guards it down low. That's a scary combo in the paint.
Yeah. So obviously we'll, you know, stay tuned to HawkeyeInsider.com for tomorrow's analysis. I mean, tomorrow's stories regarding Northwestern game. The game Northwestern will take place 7 p.m. On Tuesday. And something I did want to mention really quick, huge, huge, huge special right now, HawkeyeInsider.com. Get 2 months for $1, new members only, 2021 recruiting, really starting up fast. I believe they're ranked ninth right now, according to 24/7 Sports in the country. That class is really coming together. Junior days in the midst of basketball season, spring football. $1 for, I think, the most complete and insightful Iowa coverage that is available. I mean, Sean and I work relentlessly on bringing you guys the best. So something to keep in mind, go to HawkeyeInsider.com for the details on that. That's going to run through Monday night, expires at midnight. So take advantage of that now. Quickly moving on, Sean, I mean, we kind of touched on this at the beginning, but the latest regarding Tristan Wirfs and AJ Epenesa, I know Hawkeye Nation is really holding their breath for what's going to happen. And you know, despite some reports, I do think that there's a legitimate decision being made behind closed doors. I mean, I don't think it's done one way or the other yet, but at the same time, it could come at either time. And, you know, I know you've been talking to people, Sean. I've been talking to some people.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Right now, from what I'm hearing from a couple of different sources, is Tristan Wirfs is really extremely struggling with the decision right now. And I've even heard from one person that was a 60-40 right now that he comes back to Iowa for his senior season, and that would obviously be a huge, huge boost to the offensive line and just in general for the offense. Epenesa is probably more 50-50. I did get the chance to talk to a couple other scouts regarding Wirfs, because they were asking it when he was going to declare or if he was going to declare. And I couldn't really give him an answer, but they said there's really not much risk for Wirfs. Obviously, the NFL is just holding its breath and kind of waiting on him. But with that size and that athleticism, even if he got hurt, you know, knock on wood, there's not going to be much drop off just because he can do some of the things he does and just the way he's built and just how strong he is. And I think Wirfs kind of believes that himself. And I think that's one factor maybe that's kind of delaying his decision.
Right. And Dave, we talked about the other day for a little bit that if Wirfs comes back, he's probably a top two or three draft pick, in my opinion. You have Trevor Lawrence going first overall, most likely. Justin Fields going second or third. And I think Tristan Wirfs is right up there with him. And that's a big difference going top four, top three in the draft compared to going like number 12 or number 11, which is where he's projected right now. Like, I think he'll draft, his draft stock will rise at the combine later, but I do think that just based on where things are at right now, like that's a big amount of money that he could make if he stays in next year. Granted, like if he gets hurt, he could probably be around this range still just because he's so gifted and just so many tools that he has that he can, if an injury, like he'll probably stay around where he's projected right now. But still, like if things go as planned and things go well, we could be looking at top four, top three right now.
You know, Sean, I just really want to watch him and Penei Sewell go to the combine together and just go head to head and everything, because I think that would just be absolutely legendary. Because Penei Sewell, the Oregon offensive tackle, I mean, he's up there with Wirfs in terms of just absolute freak of nature and probably arguably generational talent at offensive tackle. I think they're both going to be all, you know, potential Pro Bowl guys in the future. I think Sewell's that good, and I think Wirfs has his best football in front of him. But yeah, like you mentioned, I think if Wirfs comes back, I mean, that's such a security net too for Spencer Petras. I mean, he's got to just feel so comfortable. You get both offensive tackles back. You get Tyler Linderbaum back. So I think that'd just be necessary. I think, you know, I think a guy like Tyler Goodson would be very grateful if Tristan Wirfs came back for another season. But on the other hand, you know, talking about AJ Epenesa quick, Epenesa I think is a first rounder, but I think his stock has taken it's kind of fallen this season. Still a first rounder, probably a mid first rounder as opposed to like a top five, top seven, mock draft pick probably the beginning of the year. But it's one of those things too where, you know, I I've heard this from a couple people that Epenesa, if he came back, he really feels like he could put together a full season like he did in the last month. And just keep in mind, the first half of his season was not revolutionary. I mean, he was double, triple teamed, granted, but he really feels like he could come out and just absolutely dominate like he did against USC and Nebraska, but he feels like he could do that against everybody next year.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely reasonable. And I think having a guy like Chauncey Golston on the other side of the field would be beneficial for that. But I don't know. That's an interesting case. I'm not too positive about the Epenesa thing, because I know it takes like I know it takes a couple of games to get used to that double triple teams. And I think that'll definitely benefit him if he does opt to come back next year. But I think he's a guy too that, like I said, with the injuries, like you don't want to bring it up, but if he does get injured, like that could, I think he could take a bigger hit than Wirfs does.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think there's a bigger risk with AJ staying than Tristan.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll keep you up to date on HawkeyeInsider.com, but that's kind of the latest what we're hearing. It's going to go either way, I feel like. And if both guys come back, I'm not going to be blown away. I'll be a little bit surprised, but I'm not going to be, you know, oh my God, this is amazing. No, I mean, I'm not get, you know, but if they both go, I think that's what people expected at the beginning of the year. I think that's what Kirk Ferentz and all those guys expected. So I don't want to say no harm, no foul, but you know, they kind of planned on it, to say the least. So before we kind of dive in some questions to wrap this up, we do need to mention that backup quarterback Peyton Manziel opted to transfer last week as as I believe M. Rittenberg, ESPN, reported, and we confirmed about under a minute later from our sources. Peyton Manziel, obviously from Belton, Texas, was one of the few guys from Texas, I believe it was him and Matt Hankins, that stuck around from that 2017 recruiting class, despite the mass decommitments from guys like Eno Benjamin, Bo Corrales, Gavin Holmes. But he obviously stayed with Iowa, but a little bit of a surprise to see him transfer so early. I would have thought he would have went through spring football, but I think that kind of shows where the quarterback battle is. And I don't want to say it's not going to be a battle, but I think the starters kind of – it's kind of confirmed, at least in my mind now, because I don't think Alex Padilla is going to be able to surpass Petras from what I'm hearing. And Deuce Hogan, 2020 quarterback, commits, not even going to be on campus till June. And that's a tall task for anybody to come in and do that. And keep in mind, too, Peyton Manziel, he'll be at Albion Christian, I believe. Sean wrote a story about that, and it's kind of been all over that. But keep in mind that Peyton Manziel is married. His wife's actually on Baylor's softball team, so he's actually going to be able to be closer to family. So probably a win-win, I think, for both parties.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the quarterback battle, I know I talked about this on The Champ the other day with Steen and Jeremy, that Iowa fans are all right, hear me out. Spencer Petras is going to be really good for Iowa. Alex Padilla, I think, is the guy that people need to be talking about a little more in terms of, yes, he's not Iowa's size. Yes, he didn't have – or Iowa's traditional quarterback size. Yes, he didn't have, like, the huge offers. I think his top offers were, like, a couple Ivy League schools and then, like, Colorado State, where I believe his father played his college football. But, man, like, he understands the game really well, picks up things really fast. I know the Iowa coaches were impressed with that throughout spring and even in the fall and summer. And I think he really put things together too. But I think just in total, a guy like Deuce, I think, can come in and find a way to make an impact as well. I don't know if he'll be it right away, but I think it'll take him a little bit, because I don't want to talk about, like, the total competition, like, level of competition when it comes to the high school level, because I think Deuce's was a lot lower than maybe Padilla's. I think Padilla played pretty high up there.
In Colorado, definitely.
Yeah, big class ball in Colorado. So I think that probably had part of it to do with the adjustment and whatnot. But I think Padilla's a guy. I mean, Petras, I'm all in on him being the starting quarterback. But I think Padilla's a guy that you really got to keep an eye out for too. I think he's one that if maybe Petras struggles right away, like Padilla coming in, then that'll be something to look out for. But I do think Iowa fans the next couple of years are going to realize just how much they'll miss Nate Stanley, because it's so rare nowadays to have a 3-year starting quarterback in the Big Ten, especially with some of these guys starting way later. Like, we saw Justin Fields, like, had to transfer somewhere else to play, and some of these other guys. And let's see, like, Sean Clifford had to wait his turn. I mean, he'll be a 3-year starter if he opts staying for another year. I'm trying to think of some other quarterbacks in the Big Ten, like Brandon Peters. Was the starting quarterback at Illinois this year, but didn't get much run at Michigan. And there's a few others that aren't coming to my head right now. But it's so rare, and just his experience this year and just how he was able to manage a game and not turn the ball over that much and, like, just be a total game manager is something that Iowa fans are really gonna appreciate now. Because I do think Peterson – the other guys will do a fine job, but Stanley, that's 3 years, is irreplaceable. There's no doubt.
Statistically, one of the best quarterbacks in school history. I mean.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
You know, you can mark and bring consistencies all you want, but he made a lot of winning plays at Iowa, has some signature wins, but just couldn't get a Big Ten title. And that's probably his biggest downfall, and probably big road performances as well. But yeah, I do think that Petras will be starting quarterback. Let's kind of do rapid fire right here for some questions. What's the number of conference wins Iowa basketball needs to feel comfortable for their at-large chances, including Big Ten tournament? What do you think, Sean? I think in, this is including Big Ten tournament. I think 10 or 11, and I think that they're not going to be sweating too much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I mean, I would go as low as 9 potentially too, depending on how the rest of the conference fares. I think 9's the minimum at this point, but I think 10 or 11, you're feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, not going to be sweating. And keep in mind that people declare the Big Ten this year as undisputedly the best conference in America. I mean, there's really not much debate from people, and I think that will help Iowa's case when it comes to Selection Sunday. 10 and 11, I think if they get 9 and they get 2 in the Big Ten tournament, they're going to be fine going in, especially 2 more neutral court wins in a tournament. And they do have signature wins already. I believe they're up to 3 quadrant one wins right now. I mean, it'll be interesting, but I don't think they're going to be sweating too much. What positions will Iowa look to add, a JUCO kid or a graduate transfer? Doesn't specify what sport. So I think this is a football question more so than basketball, because basketball is pretty full. I can think of one right off the top of my head, Sean, and that's defensive end, especially if AJ Epinesa goes. I know they have Zach Van Valkenburg, who did an okay job coming in. I think that the competition ramped up. They'll have Chauncey Golston, but I think if they could get an impact guy off the edge or another impact defensive lineman that's been proven, I think they'd feel a lot better depth-wise. I think that they will at least explore the option of potentially getting a guy there.
Right, and I think people need to realize this too. When it comes to, I mean, Iowa could have a guy like, I don't know, Alaric Jackson coming back at left tackle. You might want to pick up a guy just for depth purposes too, like no matter what. Because you never know what's going to happen. We saw it this year with Alaric, how he went down. You never know what's going to happen. And just having that extra, I mean, Van Valkenburg, he was the one that won transfer. But just having him for depth too purposes, and he found ways to produce. So did Joe Evans, and John Wagner had that sack. I believe it was against Illinois, not certain on that. But, like, there's just depth. Depth is so important in college football today. So just picking up another guy, whether it be for production or depth purposes, I think defensive line is the most valid option at this point.
I think of one more, Sean, and people I think are screaming right now that we haven't said it yet. I think punter. I think yeah. I always go with Adler, graduate transfer punter. I think Michael Sleep Dalton did a fine job this year. Obviously, they had Ron Caluzzi a few years back, and you know, Ryan Gersonde is a scholarship punter, but he's coming off a major knee injury. And Iowa's going to need good punting next season, especially with the teams they're going against. They can't allow a short field. They got to be able to spread the field and make teams earn their points. So I think that they're going to explore the punter market as well. Obviously, kicker, they have Keith Duncan, who, I don't want to go on a tangent here, but probably should have won the Lou Groza Award. I don't really understand how he didn't. I don't think it should have been close, but that's another, it's an old argument. Maybe an offensive lineman, but probably not, because they have a lot of young talent in there, and I feel like they feel pretty good about that. But, we'll see what happens with Tristan Wirfs, obviously. Wide receivers, they're fine. They get everybody back. Right now, everybody's coming back for running backs. Corners, I don't think Phil Parker would like to get a graduate transfer. So probably just defensive line and punter are the two options at this point.
There's that punter from Tennessee that people have been talking about a little bit, the Joe Doyle kid.
Yeah, I think Iowa offered him.
Yeah, they offered him out of high school, or offered him like recently?
Out of high school.
I believe they did. I had to double check in that, but I think he's the guy you want to look out for there.
Let me get back to this really quick. Yeah, continuing on down the list. Sorry, just had it up. Any buzz on new recruits they are following for February signing day? I know, Sean, you can tackle this question probably better than I can, but I know they probably have a small list, but there's really not much traction or guys that they're really going out on a limb for. I feel like things have really slowed down. You know, there'll probably be that one name, maybe like a Kevon Merriweather, who came out of absolute nowhere 2 years ago on signing day itself. But Iowa's really not tracking and not looking to add a ton of new pieces for February.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speculate who with like the transfer portal and stuff, but I think maybe if a couple names come up in the next couple weeks, I think maybe we could see another player or two. Because I know of talking to people and some recruits that some of the ones they've mentioned are scholarship players, but they just don't have room for them right now. Like I can think of an offensive lineman that I'm going to keep anonymous that I've been told they said is a scholarship player, but they just don't have space, so they want him to come in as a walk-on, but he's got plenty of other options elsewhere. So I think that's kind of where they're at right now with these things. I mean, we could see maybe an offer down the line, but I don't know. It'll be something of progress because Iowa picked up – I know they had Jamari Harris, who they were tracking for a while but didn't offer to like a couple days, maybe like a week before signing day.
Yeah.
TJ McCall is another guy they picked up late, and I think those were the only two during that February signing period, if I'm not mistaken.
Off the top of my head, I believe those are the final two. Where's Iowa State football scholarship-wise? How many are they allowed? They're allowed 85. I believe they filled all of them right now. Does that affect the number of recruits they might add? Yeah, and, you know, I think the unfortunate part for coaches, I know people want to stick up for the recruits and the athletes, but at the same time, I think it's tough for coaches to really try to balance this because they have to wait to know who's going to go to the NFL, who's going to transfer out, because all those things really do affect. I mean, Pate Manziel is the first of, I think, a few dominoes that are going to fall. Again, I don't want to sit here and speculate who's going to transfer. I don't think that's fair to the program. I don't think that's fair to the players, and I don't think it's fair to the fans to spread, you know, pure rumors. But I won't mention names, but maybe a running back goes. Maybe a defensive back goes. Maybe a linebacker goes. Like we saw Jane McDonald leave, and that was a little bit of a surprise. You know, I think a slight surprise, but I do think that there's going to be a few dominoes in the future that move. And in Iowa, the thing is, they can't really make major moves when all those scholarships are full. And I think they just have to wait for players to say, you know what, my future probably isn't here. I can go get playing time somewhere else. Thank you for the opportunity, but I'd like to put my name in the transfer portal or, you know, go to the NFL and make millions of dollars. Let's see. Early season non-exempt tourney for next year. Any rumors on what that might be? CJ cannot get a medical redshirt, correct? Nope, CJ cannot get a medical redshirt. He obviously had the redshirt last year, but he is over the 10-game limit, which is why like Patrick McCaffrey is probably shut down for the season because they can keep his medical redshirt and apply for it since he only played in the first two games of the year. And this guy wants to give a I think wants us to give props to Connor McCaffrey because Connor McCaffrey second in the nation in assist to turnover ratio. And I mean, Sean and I are probably sitting here like we've been the ones driving the Connor McCaffrey hype train probably all season.
Yeah, no, I've been on the McCaffrey hype train since his freshman year, believe it or not. Like, I don't want to give too much of a, I mean, even before, like, I know all that injuries that all the really unfortunate year that he had with his health took a tear, but I think sophomore year there was a lot of potential with him that we saw and just the production that he could bring. And I think he's been, like we said with Frederick too, I think he's up there for one of the most key players to this team without a doubt in terms of just what he brings as far as just being that extra guy who can maybe make an extra pass or an extra ball handler as we've seen in late pressure moments. I know people give me crap for saying that McCaffrey doesn't do much on the floor, but if you look beyond his stat line and kind of just watch him when he's not moving with the ball or like when he's not scoring, like his impact is vital to this team's success. There's no doubt.
He commands them. I mean, he literally is Fran on the floor.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And the thing is too, Connor's making threes. Like, when he shoots, you don't – like, I think last year a lot of people was like, okay, he missed. But when he shoots, I mean, I think people got faith that he can knock it down. Against Nebraska, he made three of Iowa's four threes. And the rest of the team went 1 for 29. Or 1 for 27, I believe it was. I think Connor was 3 of 6 or 3 of 7 for the game. So yeah, that he's just an important piece to the team. As far as an early season tournament, I'd probably give it another month before those really come into fruition. I know some of them get set super early, but I think a lot of the times that a lot of those don't even get set till the summer, and then they kind of come about late. So, you know, we'll kind of see where that goes. I think I would anticipate Iowa's going to get a pretty decent invite if they keep up the trend, because and even if people from the outside look at what Iowa's going to bring back next season, you know, assuming everybody stays intact, you lose Bakari Evelyn, you lose Ryan Kreener, you get Garza back, you get Joe Wieskamp back, you get CJ Frederick back, you get Jordan Bohannon back. I mean, Iowa probably had the scariest offense in the country. I mean, it's going to be up there because I think those guys alone, any of them are capable of going off for 20, 25 points in any given game. I think that's extremely dangerous. So that'll be something interesting. And one, the final question is, in desperate need of quality four men next year in hoops because the ineffectiveness and injuries, any word on Iowa being in contention for grad transfers for that position or others? Sean, I'll let you kind of take the helm on this, but as far as the grad transfer wise, we really don't see a lot of that till April, May.
Yeah, I mean, the season's still going on. So as far as I know, no one's really – I mean, I'm sure there's guys that, like, are looking to transfer, like, considering it, but we're not even – we're barely even halfway through the season. Not even halfway through the – or maybe about halfway through the season, which is kind of – gives me a little bit of a – scares impressive. Me a little bit. Yeah, but glass half full. So yeah, I don't think we learned about that until like April or May at this point.
That being said,
I don't think the coaching staff is very worried about it either.
No, and I think you know, fans can get frustrated with Bakari Evelyn for maybe not taking as many shots as he should, passing up some shots, but he's played pretty good defense for Iowa this year. He's a hustle guy. You know, he is capable of making shots. I mean, we saw it against Cincinnati, but he just really hasn't been able to put the pieces together. But his teammates love him. He's embracing the Iowa culture. I think Fran's gotten a really good experience coaching him. And I do think that opens the door for graduate transfers in the future. And I think that's something to worth, you know, keep in mind. But other than that, Sean, I think that about does it for the most part. Football wise, it's going to really be heating up over the next couple weeks. Iowa's going to have some big visitor weekends coming up. They're going to have, you know, 2021. They're going to be finalizing 2020, really get in the midst of basketball. And just, you know, be sure you stay tuned to HawkeyeInsider.com for the latest. Follow Sean on Twitter at SBach247, me at David Eicholt. And we're just going to keep doing our thing. And, you know, we'll see what Iowa does this season. But I think right now they're looking in pretty good shape for an NCAA tournament appearance if the guys on the floor can remain healthy. But, again, I think Fran McCaffrey's done an excellent coaching job this season with everything Iowa's just been dealt.
Right. Yep. I agree. It should be a fun next couple of months, no doubt. This is when it starts getting good.
So, obviously, really quick, one last plug. 2 months, HawkeyeInsider.com for $1, new members only, 24/7 sports. Read everything on the network. Great in-depth analysis, recruiting analysis from Sean. Player grades, the works, basically. Most in-depth and, I think, complete coverage on the market. So, take advantage of that. That flash sale ends Monday. I believe that's going to end tomorrow night. So, be sure to hop into HawkeyeInsider.com for that. But yeah, other than that, we'll talk to you soon, and thanks for tuning in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.